Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All eyes on me.
That's up to you guys to grade me. You know, I work as hard as I can to get a win that week, and we haven't won as much as I believe we should have. We've lost three games that I feel we were capable of winning and should have won. Those are the ones that are the toughest. In terms of grading myself, I'm not going to grade myself. I'm going to work as hard as I can, and I'm the same guy I am right now that I've always been. We got to overcome some things that we're in right now, and I believe we can overcome them, but we put ourselves in a tough bind, and that's why we got to be extremely good and successful here going forward to be able to overcome that stuff.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we'll grade you all right. Lorenzo Neal, Jake Hutchinson, and Dan Devone coming up on 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game as we get you ready for the San Francisco 49ers and the Buffalo Bills coming up on what ought to be snow out in Buffalo, the armpit of the Northeast. Actually, no, I say that to a buddy of mine. Who's from Buffalo. A buddy of mine is from Buffalo. Every time I say that, he literally wants to show hands, man. He wants to go. I'm just joking. Buffalo's a beautiful place.
Fans are unbelievable there.
Fans are really,
really amazing. I used to love playing there because the fans start rocking. You're just like, wow, this little beat-up stadium is just...
It's like a college town, basically. It's a little like Green Bay, where you got that cold, unique vibe. The weather's tough. Everybody that's pretty much, they're inside all year. Oh. Everyone's wearing a sweatshirt for 7 months of the year. This is all they have. Yep. It's a beautiful thing.
All right. Well, I take it back.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry about that, guys. Oh, we didn't mean it like that. It's all right. You can talk about Green Bay all you want.
Come on, man. I grew up in San Francisco. Spent time in Hawaii. I'm a little jaded. I go to a place like Buffalo. I'm like, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's why it's so special. You know, it's not an attraction. They've got the football team and you hang out and you're
cold.
It's
a religion, man. I hear you. It is everything. And I can respect that. You know, we talk about Kyle Shanahan. I get it. You know, when a team, and if fans want to do this, it's your prerogative, man. We're here for you. We're the vehicle. You want to call and vent? Knives out, baby. Go after Kyle Shanahan. You want Debo out? Fire everybody for crying out loud. But if you want to have serious conversations about moving off from Kyle Shanahan.
We're your therapist here today.
Please tell me, no one in this room is willing to say Kyle Shanahan needs to go or the proverbial hot seat. Lowe, you're looking at me like you might go in that direction.
Oh, my goodness. My deal is like people are talking about him not being in the help, you know, Kyle Shanahan getting fired or put him in the hot seat. Okay, he's been to two Super Bowls, four or five NFC championship games, been to the playoffs, and you would fire him? And for who? For what? So I understand people are like disappointed. There's only been, I think one other team that's probably done what he's done in the last 5 years, and that's Kansas City because they've beaten them.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I feel like most of the time when you get into that discussion about, okay, fire this guy, you go, who do you want to replace him? You go, well, there's coaches out there. It's like you need to have a very,
names, right?
Very, very good answer. And unless it's, you know, Ben Johnson, who's an unproven head coach, and all of these players have bought into Kyle, it's fundamentally not going to happen. And I also think something that people don't understand or maybe just don't know is Jed York is deeply scarred from how he handled Jim Harbaugh and the whole Jim Tom Sula era, all of that.
We'll run a little bit.
He loves Kyle Shanahan. They are close. Like, they have good dialogues. It would take a lot for Jed York to move on from him. And I think Kyle, for him to be on the hot seat, it has to be this season. It would have to be this season go sideways, and then another season go sideways, and then a third. They don't live up to expectations. Then you can have a discussion. But Jed York is going to need to see a lot of bad performances with really good rosters to move on from Kyle Shanahan.
If Kyle Shanahan would have won only 8 games this year, and next year come back and win 10 games, and the following year win 8, he still wouldn't be fired. Mike Tomlin's been with the Steelers. Look how many long he's been with that organization. They won a Super Bowl. They've been in one, and he hasn't been to as many as Kyle Shanahan has done. So you look at it, but they're not thinking about it because he's good. Look at Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, when you look at the Baltimore Ravens. Been there for 17 years. Yeah, he's won one Super Bowl. He's been to some AFC championships. But if you look at his body of work, what Kyle Shanahan has done, it's absurd that we say fire him. This guy has put together a good roster. He's got a good franchise. And I think he's helped Jed York. Jed York used to be young and inexperienced, fly out the handle, didn't know how to handle, didn't have the gravitas.
Send out tweets, just criticizing them.
Wanting to be the man, wanting to be the front dog, wanting everyone would stay here because I'm the owner. He had that ownership that he shouldn't have, and just been like, sit back, let me watch with the owners. But he was young. Look at how mature Jed York has gotten, and he understands. Kyle Shanahan is a good coach that's in a situation that he's going to have to make some tough decisions, fire some coaches, fire maybe your DC, your special teams has been a sieve. There's a lot of things that this team is going to have to do to be able to compete again if they want to compete right away.
If Shanahan was fired, there'd be literally, I think, 30 teams that would take that resume and kick the tires on him.
Of course.
I mean, that's the most ridiculous. We're not going to give that any sort of legs because
at all.
That's ridiculous.
Surprise you gave me side eye. This is because you talk so great about San Fran, and now all of a sudden you want to move to the NYC.
San Francisco.
To get to the, you know,
don't ever abbreviate.
Oh my God. See, don't ever be. I'm throwing you under the bus right now. I'm going to throw you under the bus.
No, it's called stink eye. I was giving you the stink eye, man. I wasn't sure
you
were going
with
that.
You.
But
you're
you know
best.
What? Here's with Kyle Shanahan, though, I do think Nick Sorensen. I think, you know, knowing Shanahan a little bit, I think he may have sealed his fate with the 12 man on the field and successful plays. When Kyle Shanahan saw that there were 12 men on the field for the second, which I've never seen before in a football game.
I don't think a lot of people
plays,
have seen that.
12 men on the football field. Now, the first time they were shuttling guys in and out because obviously, you know, Green Bay was trying to, you know, quick play, if you will, or trying to catch the 49ers off guard. But I think Sorensen may have just sealed his fate because he's been sort of on the ropes to begin with. But I think that might have been sort of like the backbreaker. Just like when Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew Emmanuel Sanders, I think that relationship after the Super Bowl was severed for life. And I think this one, Kyle Shanahan's like, look at me, I'm not going to do it now, but I sure as hell am going to do it at the end of the season.
No question. I just had a flashback. I was down there in Miami. I was at the end zone. I was sitting in the stands watching from that end zone, and you watch it, and everyone – you know, and usually with a deep ball like that, everyone's holding their breath waiting to see, and it was just so obviously not going to be complete. You just triggered that.
Could you tell Sorensen, or excuse me, could you tell Sanders had that step and that if you put
oh,
him on?
Oh, yeah, he was there, and you could see him go. Sanders knew that the ball wasn't even close. It was brutal, but sorry to trigger every 49ers fan mm-hmm. who's now remembering that Super Bowl, but on the Nick Sorensen front, I do think as a young defensive coordinator, there's a lot of intriguing young defensive coordinators out there. I think Sorensen's in a tricky position of 49ers have some young guys, some new guys that don't know the scheme, and Kyle probably doesn't want him to experiment that much. But if you are going to be limited and you're going to run a pretty straightforward defense, you're not going to blitz a ton, you got to make sure in key moments your defense is ready. And to have that where Kyle didn't pull any punches and he went, that's on us, on the second one, I'm not sure, you know, unless the defense comes back and they just look tremendous down the stretch, that's a pretty tough thing to overcome when you have not really made a compelling case for yourself.
You know what I like about Kyle Shanahan and that all, and like just like the caller when he said, hey, Shanahan's about himself, he's not about his players, shows that he's about his players and his coaches, because he just said that's on us. He could have threw Swanson under the bus. He could have been like throwing all the coaches under the bus and be like, and he probably in that meeting the next day, trust me, guys, he probably had some choice words for his defense, his DC and his freaking defensive coaches. And the guy that's upstairs is saying, you're in charge of personnel, to tell him to match personnel when guys come on the field offensively. The defense has someone that's matching personnel, so they tell the coach what he is. Coach just yells 12 personnel, so you're 12 personnel defense, go out there. 22 personnel, that means two backs, two tailbacks, that means 22 personnel go out there. If it's 21 personnel, you know what? The 21 personnel, jumbo, do you have someone up there that matches the defense on both sides of the ball? Offense have someone to match it. So when you don't get that right, that is on coaching, and I think Cal did a great job, though it did not call out anyone. He went more on what happened, what Green Bay was trying to do. It should have been a penalty on Green Bay. Didn't give him time to substitute. So he talked heavily about that. But then that second time, like you just alluded to, that was bad.
You know, you're going to love this because I'm going to talk about the Chargers. Next time we do a show, I want to know the over and under on how many times you give me Charger references. That's your team.
Oh, you know what? I absolutely love the Chargers, man. I mean, it's a place that I played for 5 years. I love it. I think that when you see how an organization, I love the Harbaughs. I mean, you know the Harbaugh brothers.
I wanted to go, because Harbaugh, as we talk about coaches that don't throw players and or maybe privately, but at least publicly are aware that there's a camera on them and don't do that in a public vein, Jim Harbaugh might be the best in terms of blowing up his quarterbacks. He makes those dudes feel so special. You know, and it started with Alex Smith, J.J. McCarthy when he was at Michigan. He lets these guys know, man, you are the greatest thing in the world. And do not worry, because you have the utmost confidence, because I am never going to pull you. And I know, I mean, think about Alex Smith prior to the arrival of Harbaugh. And he's dealing with all those offensive coordinators, like seven of them during 7 years. And then he's got Singletary as his head coach. I love Singletary, but what does he know about offenses?
Right.
And along comes Harbaugh, says, you're not going anywhere. You're my guy. And he's done that throughout. And I think Kyle Shanahan maybe isn't, you know, that effusive, but it's along those lines that you have to show faith in your guys, especially when it comes to Harbaugh and his QBs.
Yeah, I think that not necessarily Harbaugh. I think Shanahan had a way tougher decision to make than Harbaugh, because Shanahan had just drafted a guy in Trey that you spent a lot of draft capital to get, and you're willing to trade him away for a guy who's pretty much the last pick of the draft.
It should have been a fireable offense the way that went down. They just lucked into Brock Purdy.
Exactly. So you think about what Shanahan does when you're talking about, does he love his players and he's back, got your back? This guy moved heaven and earth to say, you are my guy, Brock Purdy, and I'm going to stick with you. And that's why I know that they're not going to let this guy leave the building, because Shanahan has committed to Brock Purdy.
I'm with you. And just, by the way, on the Jim Harbaugh front, for anyone who has not followed and just seen how incredible it is with him and Herbert, and he's smacking Justin Herbert's pads every game, and he's getting Justin Herbert, who basically does not talk, to give post-game speeches. There's something substantial and sort of magical that's happening down there after Brandon Staley, who's with the 49ers, after Brandon Staley just had them feeling like nothing. You know, he came in, he was touted as an analytical guy, as a really smart guy, and he proved that on the defensive side, and then it went south, and he was not a compelling figure. And then you get Jim Harbaugh, who might love football more than any other human on this planet. It's been pretty special to watch.
It really has, watching Harbaugh and just watching coaches, both these Harbaugh brothers, watching the way that they coach. And I think Shanahan is still in that picture. I mean, if you look at what Shanahan has done the last 5 to 6 years, you got to compare that to any coach in the league except probably Andy Reid.
Yeah.
You look at what he's been able to do. Who can you say has outcoached Shanahan the last 5 years, what he's done with his organization, to any organization in the league besides Kansas City?
I got to do an ID. Lucas was going to tell you to lay out, but I'm like, good luck, man. Lo ain't going to stop talking, so I got to read
Lucas,
over
Lucas, it's all right. Get in my ear, baby. Get in my ear. You're good,
listening
Luke.
To 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate, auto loan, apply CR. Just ask for First Cal financing at the dealer.
All right.
You know, we talked about Brock Purdy. Let's just go there. Right?
Yeah.
Let's just pretend you're the GMs for a second. All right? It seems to be a foregone conclusion. And I'm with you. I mean, listen, you put the proverbial gun to my head. Let's lock him up next year. Let's not let this thing get messy. The one thing I would suggest is that you do it early. Like, let's not do what it is that we've done the last couple of years and let these things, when it comes to Bosa, where it
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Actually, he carried into the season, and you did everything with Brandon Ayuk last year that it was just too much. It was too much drama, and I think there's been a cause and effect, including, you know, Trent Williams and his extension. I just don't think that team was ready to play football at the beginning, and I'm talking about camp.
Right.
So if we're going to do it, let's do it. But I'm just saying, if I was in that room, could I be that guy that's just throwing caution to the wind that since there's some uncertainty – and 60 mil is a lot of skahoots where I'm from, that maybe we just hold out for another year so that we're certain about Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy's future going forward. Now, I would say this in my defense. Again, I started the show this way. When you think about Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, do you think if they could redo it, then maybe they would wait another year and like, I don't know if you're worth that 53 per. Same thing with Tua. And the little fella out in Arizona, Kyler Murray, is another guy that I think was a little bit premature. And in all three instances, I think that if the powers that be could have waited another year, they would have saved themselves a lot of money.
I think the only problem is if you're asking Brock, who's already outplayed his contract monumentally, I think he's going to hold out. And he could say, I'm not going to play unless you pay me. And I know that doesn't seem like Brock's character, but given how valuable he's been to this team, the fact that he did have elbow surgery and all that, if I'm him, I'm not setting foot on that field next year until I have a monumental contract. And if they go another route, fine. They can test that out, but there are going to be other teams calling and teams that will pay him.
Do you think there's teams out there that pay him $60 million?
I do. I think that's just the going rate of the market. I don't think there will be a teams,
I'm with you.
Yeah. I do think teams would offer him that. I don't know how many teams exactly it would be, but what he's shown and the ability to elevate this offense, both with off schedule and targeting stuff downfield in a way they didn't have with Jimmy Garoppolo, I do think other teams would absolutely value him around the league.
I think he'd get paid. I don't know if it's
If he doesn't get $60 million from the Niners, I don't think he's getting it from somewhere else. Like if I'm the Raiders and I'm like, the Niners aren't giving you 60, we'll come in at maybe high 40s, low 50s. But if the Niners, I think in order for him to get to 60, it's got to come from the Niners. And if it doesn't, I don't think he's getting it from anywhere else.
1,000% agree with you. First time we agreed about on something. How about that?
I got to read an ID.
Give me a bill just for that. You know, God, we finally agreed on something today. My goodness.
Dude, we're both Fresno State. Bulldogs. No dogs down.
No, run to the ball. I couldn't agree with you more. I think you're absolutely right because of the fact if you're a team, and you're looking at a guy who's been injured, that type of injury on the elbow, and now your shoulder, and you may not play the rest of the year. I don't think he'll get that money anywhere on the market except the Niners. The Niners do owe him because of what he's been able to go through. So I'm with you there, Jack. But one thing I won't say, Jake, sorry about that. The one thing that I will say is I got Drew Brees on the phone. Drew Brees, look what he did with us. I mean, it's a Charger reference. Go ahead and get on me. The Charter, he remember Denver mess up that shoulder. No teams wanted to pay him. They said, "Oh, what if something else happens?" He had it surgically repaired. He was okay, but look what happened to him. So now you have a guy Same kind of in stature.
And they drafted Phillip Rivers because of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Well, actually, they drafted Rivers before that. So he was there.
Before Drew?
Yeah. They were. Drew and him was on the same team together. That's why I referenced the Chargers because this is what I know. Yeah, so Drew was the starting quarterback, drafted Phillip. Drew held him off the whole year. We're playing against the Bears.
Okay, wait, just.
Yes.
Who got drafted first? Drew Brees.
Yes.
Yeah, and Phillip Rivers was after him.
Yes, they got, but he got drafted while they were where Drew was still on the team.
Yeah,
yeah. So you said that's not the reason why they drafted him because of the injury. So I'm
no, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, I know you, okay,
but it was Rivers that came in after.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. But I thought you said because of the injury, that's why they drafted Phillip. Phillip was on the team before he got injured.
Perfect.
That's all.
Yes,
yeah. But I just my point that I was making is, remember when Drew did get hurt, the Chargers didn't want to necessarily bring him back. Other teams didn't want to bring him, said because of the injury. I'm just saying now you have Purdy with an elbow like you alluded to. That's why I'm saying the same, because other teams probably won't give him that type of money because they're going to say, here's a smaller guy, don't know how much durability he has left. I'm not going to take that chance.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a fair point. That he would get 60 somewhere else, I'm not sure. But I think a team like the Raiders, the Jets have been desperate with new ownership. Who knows? I think there are teams out there that would give him somewhere in the range of 40 to 50. And maybe if you're the Niners,
I agree there.
You say, okay, well, we're not going to give you 60 because of that. But also, if you play hardball, he's going to play hardball back and you get into that situation.
Do you get more guaranteed then? If it comes down to that, to give the guy, here's a guy that's been injured, you say, wait, we're not going to give you $60 million, but we're going to guarantee this contract for you because what you've done.
I think that's what they should do. They should say, all right, here's, try it out. You say, here's $45 a year for 3 years fully guaranteed. The fourth year is sort of an option year, and you see if that works. He'll probably want more, and that's where you go. But it's a tough situation where they've gotten so much value out of him for basically free. And if you're Brock Purdy, you got to get somewhere close to what you're worth. And the market's saying you're worth well north of $50 million because that's just what the market is.
What's that kid going to do with $60 million anyways? How many tractors can you buy?
I was just going to say, he's going to buy some tractors.
I mean,
he deserves it.
No, he does. But just, listen, we talked about Purdy and potentially not playing him against Buffalo if the shoulder's a little dinged or not at 100%. Why would you play him? Maybe sit him down for a while. I think the other side of that argument, if I'm Brock Purdy, I want to play because of this very conversation. Like, I think that there's some doubt in the air as to whether or not he's the sort of quarterback that can elevate a team when your superstars are not available. And that's always been sort of the knock on him. All right, let's put it on you. Can you take us home? This is an opportunity. It's Buffalo, the world's watching. Everybody knows about Josh Allen. Getting back to, if you're a competitor, a part of me believes, or at least wants to believe, that Brock Purdy, if he can go, is going to want to play against Buffalo. To procure that contract and to also quiet the so-called critics like myself that, you know what, I can play and play competitively against Buffalo, and I can play out the remainder of this season and prove to everybody that I'm worthy of the $60 million. I think the last thing that he should be doing is not playing games.
I think you're right. I think he's a competitor. He's a really competitive guy. I mean, you go back to, is a Seattle game, I think it was 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year, where he had, they called it a rib or an oblique injury, and he had a broken rib. And he played through it, and he gutted it out. And I think that's something that people forget. He is a guy that will play through stuff.
Right.
But when you are an undersized guy, there becomes a point of, I don't have a lot of arm talent. And if you do play through an arm injury, and we obviously don't know exactly how severe it is, but if it is something that could linger and you try and play through it in a cold game, does that make it worse? Does that have long-term effects? If it's something where it's just pain and there's not a long-term concern about it, I think he'd be out there. And we'll see. He obviously didn't do much today. He threw one little screen pass, according to Nick Wagner of ESPN.
And blooped it, apparently.
Yeah. Didn't have a lot of zip on it. Let's be clear.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, even he's ready to play, he's not going to play this week. Why would you? I'm going to tell you the game plan. I'm just outside looking in. Now, this is not where that I've heard. This is how I look at this. The reason why you said when he played with that oblique and he was hurt and he went out there and played, they knew they could win that game. They know they have a chance of winning this game, they know they're not supposed to win this game. They know that all the guys that are injured and all the guys that are hurt, they're probably not going to win this game. Now, this is just real talk. And people might say, oh, you're crazy. They think they're going to win. They believe that they can win, but they don't believe that they're going to win. They believe they can win, but do they really think that they're going to win this game? That's one. Two, he played that game because he thought that they could win. He knew what he was getting himself into. Why would you go out this week and have all the criticism and you get hit, you get beat up, you're going in the cold and get your butt kicked against a team that's probably the best team in the AFC? But if I come back next week against the Rams or Chicago, teams that I know that were equally or maybe a little bit better, and if they're better than you, not by much, I have a chance to look far more better next week and week after against those teams than I do against Buffalo. So I'm going to take this one more week off, and I'm going out there against the Rams, or I'm going out there against the Bears, two teams that I can still win, lose, or draw. I can still look good. I'm not going to look prolific against the Bills.
You know, that's a good point. You know what might be the best case for him getting paid is Brandon Allen. When Brandon Allen comes in there and turns the ball over and throws interceptions, you know what it is? I call it the Trey Lance effect. You know how Dak Prescott got paid? You don't want me out the building? You want me out the building? Here's your next quarterback, Trey Lance. And Trey Lance threw five picks. Dak Prescott had a new contract within a month. All right, we'll be back here on 95.7 The Game. But before we go, we're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hell yeah! 95.7 The Game continues after this.